I'm John Batchelor. This is the John Batchelor Show. Healthcare.gov. The ACA is a website that doesn't much work. And moving into the story, can it be fixed, how long it will take, and how did it go wrong, are all simultaneous questions that can drive you crazy. So I go to Joshua Scharf. Joshua Scharf is a developer, a web developer, in addition to being at the Colorado's Independence Institute, where he heads up the Para Project. He blogs at View From a Height. I'm following a story he very helpfully publishes at PJ Media some days ago, but it applies to everything we're seeing now. Joshua, very good evening to you. Thank you for this. My understanding of healthcare.gov is that it looks like, it acts like, and it walks like a developed digital project that wasn't ready for the public to view. Is that a fair judgment? Is that developer language? It's not ready to go live. Good evening to you.
Good evening, and welcome to you, and hello to you from Denver, and also, if I may, hello to your mayor from the residents of Pueblo and Colorado Springs. Yes, that is absolutely right. It's a site that wasn't ready to go live on multiple levels. Not only was it not ready for the public to see, but the underlying systems that back up the website, the database systems, and then what's called the middle tier, which is a layer of computers that sits between you and the database, and that in effect translates your interaction with the site into questions and responses with the database, none of those was ready. Neither, apparently, were the interactions between the database and those systems and the external systems, the government that needs to be informed of whether or not somebody is eligible for subsidies, the insurance companies who actually have to enroll people in insurance. None of those systems appears to be ready to operate. And that's why you're seeing the types of errors that you're seeing.
I don't want to be too smart. I've read your piece and I've worked through what I understand about web development. And I want to go to the explanation that the administration has offered for the last 2 weeks. Not enough servers. From what you're telling me, there are servers at all levels. So they're not enough servers is inarticulate. Does it make sense that they're claiming they couldn't handle the volume?
Absolutely not. In Colorado here, which developed a site separate from healthcare.gov but had similar problems at least on the first day, first few days, there were only 55,000 unique users. The entire state of California on that first day reported traffic of 640,000 unique users. That's nothing. That's a drop in the bucket. Any kind of national system that would be ready for rollout would be ready to handle a couple of orders of magnitude more hits than that. This was simply not a problem of too many people being interested in checking out the site.
You write about the web layer, the first, the database layer, and the middle tier layers. Right now, the web layer, the user interface, the site that we throw up, the healthcare.gov, that's not much working. But that doesn't tell us much. It doesn't tell us anything about the database layer and the middle tier layer. Who knows about that?
Well, there's been a little bit of stuff that's leaked through. You know, if you think of this, the analogy that we all like to go to is a car, right? And so everybody likes to compare complex systems to something that we're familiar with. You can't test the brakes. You can't test the exhaust until you can get the engine running. And in this case, they can't get that first part so that people can submit queries, questions for the database, so that people can get information into the database and try to get information out. They can't get the back-end pieces that you don't see even properly tested until they get the front-end pieces that you do see properly working. Some people have been able to get as far as getting results back, and what you've seen is, and I won't bore everyone with the technical explanation, but what you've seen is security holes. You've seen information being passed that shouldn't be available, that is available. You've seen errors, detailed errors, that give you some level of architectural information about the system showing up on the screen, which should never happen, because all of those result in security weaknesses.
Because it wasn't ready, and because it was rolled out in any event, does this suggest that there might be compromise of the data of the people who are successfully enrolling?
Absolutely. And if you're passing emails in a form that's not secure, if you're passing usernames in a form that's not secure, that gives a hook. That gives a place for somebody to start if they want to try to hack the system. Also, remember, you know, these systems have to, like I say, they have to talk to external systems. They have to talk to the government. They have to talk to insurance companies. And those communication layers may also have weaknesses that we don't know about and could leave it vulnerable to people coming in and stealing that information.
I've gotten so cautious about signing up for anything that I don't like to give out any of my information. I've really gotten fantastically paranoid about putting up my email because of the things I hear about and that I don't want to be compromised or I don't want... It's not even identity theft. I don't want to be put out in somebody's mass emails anymore. Is there reason to believe that healthcare.gov has not thought about this or they thought about it and weren't ready for those questions?
You know, I think really this is a result of programmers just not having the time to do the job right. And this is more than just, you know, the fraternity of programmers closing ranks and defending each other. This is the result. What you see in terms of the kind of JavaScript, which is the stuff that processes the first touches, the stuff that you put in that you put into the system. What you see in the code that you can actually look at is just evidence of being rushed, of not having a chance to go in and clean up things, of not having a chance to go in and put proper messages in, stuff that as a programmer you immediately recognize as just not having time to have done the job right. They were still getting requirements in September. The first real hard set of requirements that they got was back in March. There's no way to develop a site on that of this complexity in that amount of time. And even with that, there were things that they could have done to make the user experience a little bit better. But to have the full system working, no, there was simply no time to do that. This was a result, I believe, of political decision makers, in essence, creating the wrong set of incentives, saying that they didn't want to take the political hit of launching late. They would rather take the political hit of launching a system that wasn't ready. And that's simply not the way most developers work. Management, good management, should always be willing to hear, we need more time to test, we need more time to work these things out, we're simply not ready to go, and never punish a developer, assuming they're competent, never punish a developer for saying, I need more time. That's the one thing you want to be able to give them. And that's why you often see release dates on commercial software being pushed. In this case, the incentives were exactly backwards. They were not willing to give more time, and instead were willing to release software that just frankly doesn't work.
QA testing, quality assurance testing, and beta testing, those don't look to have been done or not given enough time. So does that mean you can rebuild while it's live, or do you need to take it down?
I think there's so much wrong going so deep in the system, I don't think you want to take the risk of rebuilding while it's live. If you've got leaks on the back end that you don't know about,
right,
and you have people trusting the system and putting in personal data, putting in confidential information, you absolutely don't want to try rebuilding this on the fly.
Joshua.
Again, sort of looking at this from a developer's point of view, the QA testing, the quality assurance testing, is something that developers hate, but there's a reason that it's there. I used to kiddingly refer to QA as the enemy, but because they would send stuff back and make us redo the work. But it's got to be there, and to turn the entire country, in essence, into beta testers for your system is, I think, tremendously irresponsible.
Joshua Scharf, writing for PJ, he's published in PJ Media, but he writes for his blog, View from a Height. He's the head of the Para Project at Colorado's Independence Institute, as well as a web developer in Denver. I'm John Batchelor. This is the John Batchelor Show.